Hello. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. As we continued our study of the life of King David last week, we saw how David became a hunted man at the hand of Saul, and that his only ace in the hole was Jonathan, son of Saul, who loved David more than a brother. Jonathan found himself walking a tightrope between honoring his father, King Saul, who had fallen out of favor with God the Father, and his close friend David, who had the favor of God the Father and would be the next king of Israel. Though not directly indicated in the verses we will be reading from 1 Samuel today, there was some thought given to the fifth commandment, the first commandment with promise to honor one's mother and father. Today, we will start by reading that commandment in Exodus 20, verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. We will see that while neither Saul nor Jonathan directly quoted this commandment, Saul did allude to the commandment when talking with Jonathan. Jonathan faced a dilemma also faced by other people throughout time, how to go about honoring your mother and father while also honoring what God would have us do. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul begins to share strategies that were as useful when first written as these are today. It is Paul who calls the commandment to honor your mother and father the first commandment with promise, because it came with a promise of wellness and longevity. Paul also reminded parents of the need to not provoke children to anger, but to nurture them. He shared that children need to obey their parents in the Lord. We'll look at Ephesians 6, beginning in verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Paul repeated what he wrote to the church at Ephesus when he wrote to the church at Colossae, sharing that children should obey their parents in all things, and that parents are not to provoke children to anger. What Paul writes in the New Testament in no way gives any adult the right or prerogative to abuse a child in any manner. In the United States, most states require any adult with knowledge of child abuse to report the abuse to law enforcement and or child protective services. If a child or teen feels they are being abused by adults in their life, they may report it directly to law enforcement and or child protective services or any adult they feel listen to them, which could include school teachers and counselors. In the letter to the Colossians, Paul also adds that parents are not to provoke their children to anger, lest they be discouraged. In my life, I have seen many children fall by the wayside in faith. The arrogant adults concluded that these children were not called by God, even though that would contradict what is written in Acts chapter 2, verse 39. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Some have looked at this verse and incorrectly interpreted this verse. This verse says that the promise of salvation is available to you and your children, and that the same promise is available to others whom God the Father will call. Children who left the faith did not leave because they were not called. They left because they were provoked. Adults who have put away childish things often forget that to act childish and do childish things is a natural part of being a child, and that to grow faith in a child requires nurturing and working with a child at a level a child can understand. Expecting a child to act spiritually as an adult makes about as much sense as expecting a child or a baby to physically act as an adult. That's why we do not expect a baby to change its own diaper or prepare its own bottle. It's also why we don't see a toddler cooking dinner for the family or holding down a job. Childhood is a time of nurturing so the child can mature into an adult. Children who have left the faith were provoked to anger. As we work with the children in our life, and as we work with other people, everything we do ought to be done as if we were directly serving Jesus. Colossians chapter 3, beginning with verse 20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters, according to the flesh, not with eye service as men-pleasers, but in singleness of heart fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. In addition to honoring his father, Jonathan was trying to find a way to remain friends with David. Even though we will see that Saul wanted David dead, Jonathan tried to be at peace with his father by honoring his father, and tried to be at peace with David by honoring the friendship they had. Each of us is reminded of the need to live peaceably with all men and to pursue holiness if we want to be in the kingdom of God. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Paul wrote about the need to live peaceably with all men when writing to the church at Rome, by also showing how we are not to repay evil for evil. Romans chapter 12, verses 17 through 19. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. The ability to have peace and to live peaceably with others is proof that the Holy Spirit is working within us, because peace is listed as a fruit of the Spirit, the ripe result of spiritual growth. Paul contrasts in his letter to the Galatians that provoking others stems from a desire of vain glory, the attempt to make ourselves look good. When parents provoke their children to wrath, it is because the parents want themselves to look good before others, what Paul calls vainglory. Be wary of adults who attempt to make themselves look good compared to children, because there is no place for that type of competition and speaks to weakness of the adult. When Saul was trying to kill David, remember David was a youth. Galatians chapter 5, starting with verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. This takes us to the continuation of the story of the life of David, who had just fled from Saul and found that Saul had pursued him to Naoth in Ramah. David fled from this location and found Jonathan. All David wanted to do was to be away from Saul. He wasn't actively trying to overthrow Saul as king. David was trying to be David, and David was perplexed why Saul would still want to take his life. Jonathan reassured David that his father would not take David's life without first sharing with Jonathan, and that Saul had given Jonathan no such indication. 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 1. And David fled from Naoth in Ramah and came and said before Jonathan, "What have I done? What is mine iniquity? And what is my sin before thy father, that he seeketh my life?" And he said unto him, "God forbid thou shalt not die. Behold, my father will do nothing either great or small, but that he will show it me. And why should my father hide this thing from me? It is not so." David told Jonathan that Saul was not sharing everything with him, that Saul knew that death was barely separated from David. Jonathan again tried to reassure David by telling him he would support David in any manner possible. Knowing that the start of the month would require a meal with Saul, David asked Jonathan to explain his absence from the king's table, that David needed to return to his family for a yearly sacrifice. David explained that this would serve as a test of the intent of Saul. If Saul was fine with the explanation of David's absence, then Saul would be at peace with David. But if Saul was angry with David's absence, then David would know Saul still had bad blood for him. Verse 3. And David swore moreover and said, "Thy father certainly knoweth that I have found grace in thine eyes. And he saith, Let not Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved. But truly as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death." Then said Jonathan unto David, "Whatsoever thy soul desireth, I will even do it for thee." And David said unto Jonathan, "Behold, tomorrow is the new moon, and I should not fail to sit with the king at meat. But let me go, that I may hide myself in the field unto the third day at even. If thy father at all miss me, then say, David earnestly asked leave of me, that he might run to Bethlehem, a city, for there is a yearly sacrifice there for all the family. If he say thus, it is well, thy servant shall have peace. But if he be very wroth, then be sure that evil is determined by him." David also asked Jonathan that if David had indeed been wrong, that instead of taking him to Saul to be killed, that Jonathan killed David. Jonathan told David that he had done nothing worthy of death, and reaffirmed that if Jonathan knew that Saul would try to harm David, Jonathan would let David know. David wasn't thoroughly convinced by the words of Jonathan and knew that Saul could directly lie to Jonathan. Verse 8. Therefore thou shalt deal kindly with thy servant, for thou hast brought thy servant into a covenant of the Lord with thee. Notwithstanding, if there be in me iniquity, slay me thyself, for why shouldest thou bring me to thy father? And Jonathan said, Far be it from thee, for I knew certainly that evil were determined by my father to come upon thee, then would not I tell it thee. Then said David to Jonathan, Who shall tell me? Or what if thy father answer thee roughly? Jonathan suggested they go out to a field, and they did. While out there, Jonathan told David, with God as his witness, he would get a sense of how his father felt for David, whether it be good or bad, and that if he determined Saul wanted to do evil to David, he would let David know so David could depart in peace and be protected by God, as Saul had been protected by God. Jonathan only asked that David show kindness to Jonathan, and that David would never seek revenge against Jonathan's descendants. Both Jonathan and David swore an oath on this agreement, and Jonathan made David swear twice because they were close like brothers. Verse 11. And Jonathan said unto David, Come and let us go out into the field. And they went out both of them into the field. And Jonathan said unto David, O Lord God of Israel, when I have sounded my father about tomorrow any time or the third day, and behold, if there be good toward David, and then I send not unto thee, and show it thee. The Lord do so and much more to Jonathan, but if it please my father to do thee evil, then I will show it thee, and send thee away, that thou mayest go in peace, and the Lord be with thee, as he hath been with my father. And thou shalt not only while yet I live show me the kindness of the Lord, that I die not, but also thou shalt not cut off thy kindness from my house forever. No, not when the Lord hath cut off the enemies of David, every one from the face of the earth. So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, Let the Lord even require it at the hand of David's enemies. And Jonathan caused David to swear again because he loved him, for he loved him as he loved his own soul. Jonathan and David then determined how to handle the Feast of the New Moon, which would be the next day, a monthly gathering of those close to Saul. Jonathan suggested David stay away in the fields for 3 days, and on the third day he would come to the stone Azil, where Jonathan would shoot 3 arrows and send a boy to fetch the arrows. If Jonathan told the boy to look for the arrows between where the boy was and the palace, David would know it would be safe for him to return to the palace. But if the boy was told to look for the arrows beyond where he was, David would know it was not safe to return to the palace, and instead he should flee. Jonathan knew that through God, there would always be a bind between the two, even if they never saw one another again. Verse 18. Then Jonathan said to David, Tomorrow is the new moon, and thou shalt be missed because thy seat will be empty. And when thou hast stayed 3 days, then thou shalt go down quickly and come to the place where thou didst hide thyself when the business was in hand, and shall remain by the stone of Zeal. And I will shoot 3 arrows on the side thereof as though I shot at a mark. And behold, I will send a lad, saying, Go find out the arrows. If I expressly say unto the lad, Behold, the arrows are on this side of thee, take them, then come thou, for there is peace to thee and no hurt, as the Lord liveth. But if I say thus unto the young man, Behold, the arrows are beyond thee, go thy way, for the Lord hath sent thee away. And as touching the matter which thou and I have spoken of, behold, the Lord be between thee and me forever. David hid himself in the field, and the Feast of the New Moon came. At first, Saul just thought something might have delayed David. But by the second day, Saul was asking Jonathan about David. Jonathan lied where David was telling his father that David had returned to his family for a sacrifice in Bethlehem, verse 24. So David hid himself in the field, and when the new moon was come, the king sat him down to eat meat. And the king sat upon a seat, as at other times, even upon a seat by the wall. And Jonathan arose, and Abner sat by Saul's side, and David's place was empty. Nevertheless, Saul spake not anything that day, for he thought something hath befallen him. He is not clean, surely he is not clean. And it came to pass on the morrow, which was the second day of the month, that David's place was empty. And Saul said unto Jonathan his son, Wherefore cometh not the son of Jesse to meat, neither yesterday nor today? And Jonathan answered Saul, David earnestly asked leave of me to go to Bethlehem. And he said, Let me go, I pray thee, for our family hath a sacrifice in the city, and my brother, he hath commanded me to be there. And now if I have found favor in thine eyes, let me get away, I pray thee, and see my brethren. Therefore he cometh not unto the king's table. As a result of Jonathan's lie, Saul became angry. He told Jonathan that David was a direct threat to not only Saul's reign as king, but a future reign of Jonathan. He told Jonathan to go get David so David could be put to death. Jonathan asked his father why David needed to die and what he had done to deserve this fate. This pushback from Jonathan kindled rage in Saul, who took his javelin and threw it at Jonathan. This got Jonathan's attention, and he realized death was the only option that Saul was thinking regarding David. Jonathan was very angry and left the table because he felt like his father had dishonored him. Verse 30. Then Saul's anger was kindled against Jonathan, and he said unto him, Thou son of the perverse, rebellious woman, do not I know that thou hast chosen the son of Jesse to thine own confusion and unto the confusion of thy mother's nakedness? For as long as the son of Jesse liveth upon the ground, thou shalt not be established, nor thy kingdom. Wherefore now send and fetch him unto me, for he shall surely die. And Jonathan answered Saul his father and said unto him, Wherefore shall he be slain? What hath he done? And Saul cast a javelin at him to smite him, whereby Jonathan knew that it was determined by his father to slay David. So Jonathan arose from the table in fierce anger. He did eat no meat the second day of the month, for he was grieved for David, because his father had done him shame. The next morning, Jonathan went to the field to shoot the arrows at the agreed time with David. Jonathan told the boy to run into the field and began to shoot an arrow. He told the boy that he had to look beyond him and to hurry up and find the arrow. The boy returned to Jonathan, who gave him his archery equipment, and told the boy to return the equipment to the city. As soon as the boy had left, Jonathan went to the field, and David came out of hiding and bowed himself three times before Jonathan. Both were emotionally upset about what had happened, with David being more upset than Jonathan. Their close bond of friendship would be no more, as it would be a friendship of distance. Jonathan told David it was time for him to go, and told David that God would be between them during the upcoming years. David left, and Jonathan returned to the palace. Verse 35. And it came to pass in the morning that Jonathan went out into the field at the time appointed with David, and a little lad with him. And he said unto his lad, Run, find out now the arrows which I shoot. And as the lad ran, he shot an arrow beyond him. And when the lad was come to the place of the arrow which Jonathan had shot, Jonathan cried after the lad and said, is not the arrow beyond thee? And Jonathan cried after the lad, make speed, haste, stay not. And Jonathan's lad gathered up the arrows and came to his master. But the lad knew not anything, only Jonathan and David knew the matter. And Jonathan gave his artillery unto his lad and said unto him, go, carry them to the city. And as soon as the lad was gone, David arose out of the place toward the south and fell on his face to the ground and bowed himself three times. And they kissed one another and wept one with another until David exceeded. And Jonathan said to David, go in peace, for as much as we have sworn both of us in the name of the Lord, saying, the Lord be between me and thee, and between my seed and thy seed forever. And he arose and departed, and Jonathan went into the city. David went to the city of Nob and met Ahimelech the priest, who was concerned that David had arrived by himself without an entourage. David lied to Ahimelech and told him that Saul had sent him secretly on business. David told Ahimelech to give him the bread, and Ahimelech told him there was only holy bread and that he could only give this to David if David had not been sexually with a woman during the past 3 days, which was not a problem for David because he had been hiding in the field. With David's explanation, Ahimelech gave David the holy bread. 1 Samuel chapter 21, verse 1. Then came David to Nob to Ahimelech the priest. And Ahimelech was afraid at the meeting of David and said unto him, why art thou alone and no man with thee? And David said unto Ahimelech the priest, the king hath commanded me as a business and hath said unto me, let no man know anything of the business whereabout I send thee, and what I have commanded thee, and I have appointed my servants to such and such a place. Now therefore, what is under thine hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread in mine hand, or what there is present. And the priest answered David and said, there is no common bread under mine hand, but there is hallowed bread, if the young men have kept themselves at least from women. And David answered the priest and said unto him, of a truth, women have been kept from us about these 3 days, since I came out, and the vessels of the young men are holy, and the bread is a manner common, yea, though it were sanctified this day in the vessel. So the priest gave him hallowed bread, for there was no bread there but the show bread that was taken from before the Lord to put hot bread in the day when it was taken away. In Nob that day was Doeg, a servant and chief herdsman of Saul. Knowing this, and aware he had traveled without any weapons, David asked Ahimelech if there were any available weapons for him to take, and the only weapon was Goliath's sword. David gladly took Goliath's sword. Verse 7. Now a certain man of the servants of Saul was there that day detained before the Lord, and his name was Doeg, an Edomite, the chiefest of the herdmen that belonged to Saul. And David said unto Ahimelech, and is there not here under thine hand spear or sword? For I have neither brought my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's business required haste. And the priest said, the sword of Goliath the Philistine, whom thou slewest in the valley of Elah, behold, it is here wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If thou wilt take that, take it, for there is no other save that here. And David said, there is none like that, give it me. Goliath's sword in hand, David fled to Achish, the king of Gath. David sensed that the servants of Achish perceived him as a threat, and not wanting to die, did not act boldly, and instead acted like he had lost his mind, and even drooled for show. Achish did not want this person in his house. Verse 10. And David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul, and went to Achish, the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said unto him, is not this David the king of the land? Did they not sing one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s? And David laid up these words in his heart and was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. And he changed his behavior before them and feigned himself mad in their hands and scrabbled on the doors of the gate and let his spittle fall down upon his beard. Then said Achish unto his servants, Lo, you see the man is mad, wherefore then have you brought him to me? Have I need of madmen, that you brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house? Because God was with David, David had the ability to foresee evil, and he was able to protect himself from evil, much like what is written in Proverbs 27, verse 12. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Similar to what is written in Proverbs, speaking to his disciples about what is needed by followers living in the last days, Jesus advised that we watch and pray that we be worthy to escape evil and to stand before Jesus in the kingdom of God. Luke chapter 21, verse 36. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Living in the last day, we know perilous times will come. In his second letter to Timothy, Paul gave a list of how bad it would be during the last days. With all of this, as we face perilous times, we know that God will protect us, just like he protected David, as it fits within his will. 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses, and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning, and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. With God's protection, there is no mistaking the words of Psalm 23 as a psalm attributed to David. This psalm shows God's protection and mercy even during the most challenging of times. Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. After leaving Achish, David fled to the cave Adullam, and when word got back to Jesse and his brothers, they went to meet David. Along with his own family were those who were down and out on their luck. Soon David had an army of 400 men. 1 Samuel 22, verse 1. David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And every one that was in distress, and every one that was in debt, and every one that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him. And he became a captain over them. And there were with him about 400 men. Seeking a safe place for his family, David had them stay with the king of Moab, Mizpah. While there, the prophet Gad told David to return to Judah, which he did. Verse 3. And David went thence to Mizpah of Moab, and said unto the king of Moab, Let my father and my mother, I pray thee, come forth and be with you, till I know what God will do for me. And he brought them before the king of Moab, and they dwelt with him all the while that David was in the hold. And the prophet Gad said unto David, Abide not in the hold. Depart, and get thee into the land of Judah. Then David departed and came into the forest of Hereth. Word got back to Saul that David's location was known. Saul reminded everyone that they should not be disloyal to him because of the promises made by David. It was at this time that Saul found out that Ahimelech had given David the sword of Goliath. Verse 6. When Saul heard that David was discovered and the men that were with him, now Saul abode in Gibeah under a tree in Ramah, having a spear in his hand, and all the servants were standing about him. Then Saul said unto his servants that stood about him, Hear now, ye Benjamites, will the son of Jesse give every one of you fields and vineyards and make you all captains of thousands and captains of hundreds, that all of you have conspired against me? And there is none that showeth me that my son hath made a league with the son of Jesse, and there is none of you that is sorry for me, or showeth unto me that my son hath stirred up my servant against me to lie in wait as at this day. Then answered Doeg the Edomite, which was set over the servants of Saul, and said, I saw the son of Jesse coming to Nob to Ahimelech the son of Ahitub. And he inquired of the Lord for him, and gave him victuals, and gave him the sword of Goliath the Philistine. With this information, Saul had brought to him Ahimelech and his entire extended family. Saul wanted to know why Ahimelech had conspired against him. And the priest told Saul, There was no more faithful servant than David. This did not impress Saul, and he ordered all the priests to be killed, and that day 85 priests were killed. Verse 11. Then the king sent to call Ahimelech the priest, the son of Ahitub, and all his father's house, the priests that were in Nob, and they came all of them to the king. And Saul said, Hear now, thou son of Ahitub. And he answered, Here I am, my lord. And Saul said unto him, Why have ye conspired against me, thou and the son of Jesse? In that thou hast given him bread and a sword, and hast inquired of God for him, that he should rise against me to lie in wait, as at this day. Then Ahimelech answered the king and said, And who is so faithful among all the servants as David, which is thy king's son-in-law, and goeth at thy bidding, and is honorable in thine house? Did I then begin to inquire of God for him? Be it far from me. Let not the king impute anything unto his servant, nor to all the house of my father. For thy servant knew nothing of all of this, less or more. And the king said, Thou shalt surely die Ahimelech, thou and all thy father's house. And the king said unto the footmen that stood about him, Turn and slay the priests of the Lord, because their hand also was with David, and because they knew when he fled, and did not show it to me. But the servants of the king would not put forth their hand to fall upon the priests of the Lord. And the king said unto Doeg, Turn thou and fall upon the priests. And Doeg the Edomite turned, and he fell upon the priests, and slew on that day 85 persons that did wear a linen ephod. And Nob, the city of the priests, smote he with the edge of the sword, both men and women, children and sucklings, and oxen and asses and sheep with the edge of the sword. One of the sons of Ahimelech, Abiathar, was able to escape and fled to David, telling him how Saul had killed the priests. David realized that when he saw Doeg at Nob, that he would tell Saul, and it would result in the death of the priests. David felt like he was responsible for their deaths. He invited Abiathar to stay with him, because he knew Abiathar would be killed by Saul, and there would be safety in staying with David. Verse 20. And one of the sons of Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub, named Abiathar, escaped and fled after David. And Abiathar showed David that Saul had slain the Lord's priests. And David said unto Abiathar, I knew it that day, when Doeg the Edomite was there, that he would surely tell Saul, I have occasioned the death of all the persons of thy father's house. Abide thou with me, fear not, for he that seeketh my life seeketh thy life, but with me thou shalt be in safeguard. David would go on to fight many battles, sometimes against enemies like the Philistines, and Saul would seem to be in hot pursuit. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together next time on the Sabbath. Until then, thank you for joining us today.